Okay, don't know if this is relevant.
Okay.
But I did text you earlier today to let you know.
I was going
to
ask about it.
And I took your advice and oh my watched Barb and Star visit Vista Del Mar.
Did you die with laughter? Because it was amazing.
It sparked this idea that I was like, okay, I get our whole podcast is about nostalgic movies, but every now and then we gotta add a new one. And then I thought like we could create a whole series of new ones. But it was so funny.
Oh my
it was
God.
So stupid.
Yep.
Kristen Wiig. I just thought of like her SNL skits of her being like middle-aged.
Yes.
Kind of.
With the fluffed
out
hair.
With the fluffed
like,
out
hair. Yeah.
Oh my God. And first of all, I love that they picked a really, really, really hot guy.
Oh my God. He's so hot.
Who was so hot, and then he acted so stupid, like, about being in love with women, and then, like, doing a singing dance scene about how he loves women.
Oh.
And that was just a little cherry on top of a hilarious movie.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to go see this movie, which, did I get the title right? It's...
You did! Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar.
And oh it's God. Star, as in Starbra, and Barb... Yeah. But just Barb.
Just Barb.
Just Barb.
Just Barb.
Not Barbara. Oh.
Sisters. Sisters who've seen it. We are the sisters. Sisters who've seen it. Sisters. Shoo-be-doo-be-doo-wop. Sisters. Shoo-be-doo-be-doo-wop. Sisters. 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 Sisters who've seen it.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back, listeners.
Welcome back to Musical March.
Ha-cha-ba-da-da. Oh, now my brain is trying to think of songs from the movie, and all I can think about is Ewan McGregor's dreamy eyes.
Come what may.
Oh, so good. I like this movie a lot. Oh boy, I can't wait to hear.
So, I don't remember what I said last episode, but I don't think I ever saw this movie. Heard about it a lot or knew of it, but I don't think I actually ever sat down and watched it.
Well, you did think that Missy Elliott and Pink were in the movie, and I do remember having to correct you and say, no, they just sing this song. Oh. Well, let me introduce ourselves.
Let's do that.
So everyone can get on our level.
Okay.
So we are the sisters who seen it, the podcast where two sisters who are not movie critics look back on some of our favorites throughout the years through a psychological, ethical, and familial lens. I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And so exciting. There's a lot of lyrics
in there. Did you know that Nicole Kidman broke two ribs?
What? In the movie?
Yeah.
What? Why'd I know that? When did that happen?
I don't know, questions. She fell down the stairs and then putting on a corset. God. Like, woof.
I really had to restrain myself from looking up the fun facts of this movie because I really like Ewan McGregor. So a lot of me was like, I must find out more. And then I was like, no. You wait. You be patient, little Katie. You can get your info when you need it.
Well, Kate, since you love him so much, how about you do a synopsis? And also, what's the movie, Kate?
Oh, yeah. Our movie is Moulin Rouge.
Ooh, yeah.
Kitchy, kitchy, yeah, yeah. They don't sing that song fully through. I don't think any of the songs are sung fully through.
Honestly, now actually seeing the movie, that song is like 2 seconds of the whole movie. I was like, oh, that song has nothing to do with the movie, really.
A lot of interesting editing. In this movie. We'll talk about that. All right, I will attempt a synopsis. I'm going to really try my damnedest to not be inappropriate talking about Ewan McGregor because my notes got a little inappropriate.
Kate, I had no idea you had such a little crushy poo.
Oh my God, he's so hot. And he can sing because I know that was him singing.
Oh, he's a great singer.
Holy moly. Well, he was also Obi-Wan Kenobi. So like, you can sing and you were in Star Wars? I'm ready.
I feel like that hit your nerd boner.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so synopsis. So this is a musical. It's kind of, I would consider it a jukebox musical in the sense that I think there's only maybe like one original song, and really for the most part all the other ones are renditions of other songs. Ooh. And the whole plot is Ewan McGregor, one of the hottest men on the planet. As you all know, he is a guy, he moves to Paris, he's like, I'm a writer, I'm gonna, you know, it's the Renaissance and whatever. And he basically gets roped into this like whole play thing that's happening that has to do with the Moulin Rouge. And the Moulin Rouge is a burlesque, that's the better name for it. Yes. So there's a lot of dancers and sexy time and people pay money and stuff. And then at the Moulin Rouge is this lady, Satine, who is Nicole Kidman. And basically through kind of like some misunderstanding shenanigans, hootenanny, him and Nicole Kidman, they meet, they fall in love, but they have to keep their love a secret because there's this crazy guy, the Duke. Ooh. And he's like really into Satine, and she's like, I hate it. And we're all like, same, we hate it. And so she's keeping a secret because he's got a lot of money and he's funding the play. So in order to keep all the play going and all this stuff, she has to like pretend like whatever. She could fall in love with the Duke or something stupid. I don't know. It's weird.
They needed funding to keep Moulin Rouge afloat, and they used the show Spectacular Spectacular as a way to fund it. But he has the deed to Moulin Rouge if any hanky panky goes down.
Right. Yeah. So there's a lot of that. So then, and eventually, you know, because they're keeping it a secret, the fake play they're doing in this movie is basically a synopsis of the movie where the lady, the main character, is in love with a guy, but it has to be a secret because there's a rich evil guy who like wants to fall in love with her, and it's all a secret. And then eventually they get found out, and there's like, you know, stuff. Also, Satine, she's dying. She is dying. It's traumatic. And then at the end, they are in love, but it's also sad because she dies. So,
wow.
And there's a lot of songs up in there about love, basically.
A lot of songs.
Yeah.
To the point it took them 2 years to get the rights for all the songs.
Oh my god. Wow. A lot were like Madonna songs too.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm thinking of your synopsis. Is there anything important to add? I feel like this is a really hard movie to do a synopsis. Kudos.
Well, because it's very like chaotic and quick.
Yeah, I would say, actually, I would like add that kind of element to it, is there's this kind of artsy Renaissance, wild, silly, in your face, like distraction. I feel like the whole movie was all about like distracting from like what's really happening, and it's kind of a lot. Like, I wrote multiple times, I feel like I'm on drugs watching this.
I wrote that too.
I was like, I am starting to get sick. I feel like I'm on drugs. Oh no.
Yeah, I said, oh my god, good thing I'm drinking while watching this, because half this movie is drunk vision.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read a lot about the director, Baz Luhrmann, if I'm saying that right. And it's funny now, when I started to look at his other movies, so he did Romeo and Juliet.
With Leo?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, that's like the same style as this.
Exactly. So that's like
and
his
John
thing.
And John Leguizamo! Yes. He was in it too.
Yes, oh so god. Like his same style is why kind of Moulin Rouge had this completely unique take, but I don't know, like it just resonated with people and it got very emotional at the end.
It did. I cried a lot.
Yeah, heavy, intense, serious emotions. And what is kind of sad that I read about is this Baz Luhrmann, his father died right at the start of like beginning filming.
Oh my god.
And he like didn't want to do it, but his father's dying wish was like, finish your movie.
Aww.
I know, right? So my theory is because of that, there's like a lot of freaking heavy at the end, because the beginning of the movie is like, da, 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 la, 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 la. And then at the end of the movie, it was like, I can't believe I believed in love. I hate you. And the Duke's like, I'm gonna kill her. And you're like, why did everything escalate? And it got so dark.
Yeah.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How do we even break this down? Do we like go in order? Do we pick characters? Like, how do we even do this, Kate?
Well, if we want to emulate the movie, we basically stay on topic for 2 seconds, quickly talk about something else, change the speed of how we're talking, you know, very randomly.
So exciting. Okay. Yeah. So then we'll start with the...
We could go like song by song too.
Oh God, you're going to have me with that, but I love idea. Christ. I love that idea.
Well, let's just go like in order and then we can...
Okay, can we talk about how the beginning of the movie is...
Oh my God.
The Six Flags dude dancing like a crazy man as a composer. And I'm like, what's happening?
Okay, first of all, love that fan theory. Putting it on Reddit. Love it. I just wrote he was an enthusiastic conductor because I don't know what the hell else to say. It was a performance.
Oh my God.
I couldn't really hear the lyrics to the opening song and I didn't know if that was me or if it... I was like, do I need to know what you're saying? Because I feel like I don't at all. I just want to see Ewan McGregor. Get him up in here, please.
He's here for Katie.
He's here for me. Yep.
It was so overwhelming. The way that he films things with this, like, there's real life looking buildings and then there's like sketches,
mm-hmm.
and then there's like artsy lighting and everything is like moving video and I could not pay attention to anything happening. It took me 10 minutes to be like, okay, this is what's happening. He's a writer. This right. guy fell through the ceiling and now he's doing play, but he wants to fall in love because he wants to write about love, but he's never been in love. I think I got that in the first 10 minutes. And then they just started to take drugs and we ended up at the Moulin Rouge.
They sure did. happened very quickly.
Absinthe? How do you say that?
Absinthe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that whole, like, the introduction to all those side characters with, like, John Leguizamo. You're right. It happens in, like, 1 minute. And, like, everybody's talking so quickly. There was some guy named, like, I didn't even write down, but it was, like, a man, you know, wearing a lot of makeup who was the writer. And then somehow that led to, like, him or her.
Let's call it they.
It led to them quitting. And I forget, like, why that happened. And then none of them cared and they were like, anyway.
It was very sister act when Whoopi had to tell Sister Mag... What's her name? Oh, God. Lazarus? She had to tell Sister Lazarus.
Oh, yes.
It's
yes.
not working out. You gotta go. But Ewan McGregor just kind of like lucked out. And then they all were like, yeah, see you later, Sister Lazarus.
Well, it was basically like once Ewan McGregor sang his beautiful angel voice, then they all were like, ah, he's so magnificent. And I was like, yeah, in the background. And then they were like, we should just do whatever this guy wants because he's hot and he can sing well. And like, I guess he's a writer. We don't know how he writes, but we don't care because he can sing well. He's hot. Let's do it. And I was like, yeah.
I want you in our social media post to write your love letter to Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, but you're right. They take absinthe and every time, and by every time, I mean only this movie, basically, when they take absinthe, I immediately think of another movie.
Road Trip.
Close. They might do a road trip. Euro Trip.
That's what I was trying to say. Oh my God. Where it's like the green little fairy.
Yeah.
We gotta know who stole from who because
I don't know.
When did Euro Trip? Euro Trip was 2004. Moulin Rouge was 2001. Euro Trip, the gig is up. You stole from Moulin Rouge.
But yeah, and then we like very quickly, we get into the Moulin Rouge and wowie, wow, wow, it's a...
Okay, wait, backing up really quick.
Oh, okay.
Because I still had to take 10 minutes to understand what was happening. All I wrote down was, okay, all these random song mashups are like the original Glee series.
Oh!
Like that is how I then once that went into my brain, like, okay, these aren't at all original songs.
Yeah.
These are all existing songs because I was like, hey, I know that one. Hey, I know that one. Hey, I was like trying to follow along. Right. And then once I got that in my head, I was like, okay, this is actually really fun, because then when you hear a song you love, you're like, this is great. Yeah. Okay, I just needed to get that out, because I feel like for anyone like me who's a little behind, you know, I just wanted to help you get there. So yeah, we get to the Moulin Rouge, and okay, that's when I really got dizzy. That first intro scene is like wild. Also, I read for the real Moulin Rouge, guys, this gets a little racy, rated R.
I mean, it was a burlesque.
I mean, so in like when they did their history of like how it actually went down, is those like can-can dresses, like the ladies would not wear anything under that.
Boop.
And I mean, they were wearing granny panties in this movie, but my God.
They were. It was a lot of, you know, what other movie character that we've done so far would have done really well at the Moulin Rouge? Chacha Dizagoria. Because number one, she's the best dancer at St. Bernadette's, but number two, she has the worst reputation. She would have done great, and she had the same skirt as all of them.
She would have done so great. But could she share the spotlight with Nicole Kidman?
Ooh.
Who crushed this movie.
I love her in this movie.
She is incredible.
Yeah, it's such a different character than she's used to playing.
And she did a combination of, okay, she's always like the love interest, right? She's always like the pining love interest, beautiful, whatever. But she was also funny. She was also kind of like whimsical at times, and then had to be sexy. And I was like, oh my God, this is like, I mean, maybe everybody thought she was amazing in this too. I didn't even look up if she like won an award, but I was really impressed.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And like, there's scenes where, like you said, she used to act like, or she doesn't have to, but she, I guess, chooses to like act really like weird, and like, and she keeps doing like a lot of like it's like the scene where she's like trying to distract the Duke in the beginning like the bedroom,
the
and
elephant
she's doing
all
this crazy thing. Yes, the elephant room. I'm like, oh my God, this is so good.
Oh, she does win. Oh, nominee. She got an Oscar nominee for it, and she won a Golden Globe. Yeah. Okay. So, because, like, wow.
Yeah, it's so fun.
But, like, were you a little, like, dizzy in the beginning?
Yeah, it's just one of those where I'm like, okay, my brain is gonna kind of shut part of itself off.
Because,
like, I'm not gonna be committing these things to memory. Like, they're just gonna be images that quickly, like, leave my brain and don't stay in there.
Also, can we talk about, like, okay, so who's, like, the main dude, the circus guy dude?
Harold.
Can we talk about why Harold can't have time to talk to his employees off stage, because every time they're on stage, he's like, hey, just want to let you know, hey, I know we're in the middle of a dance and everyone's looking at us, hey,
she's changing, and he's like, hey, let me tell you something important. I'm like, what?
Yeah, we have no money and the place is gonna shut down and it's all on your shoulders and you gotta sleep with them, so hey, okay, now bop right up. And then she like passes out because she's dying. I'm like, buddy, you gotta treat your employees better.
I have questions about why the heck this place has no money, because it seems like it's pretty popular.
Seems
there's
like
a
it's
lot
popping.
Of people.
Uh-huh. I agree.
This is a big crowd and everybody was having a good time and throwing money around. So I was very confused why, like, why is this not like a, what's happening?
And because of his poor planning, she was like, oh, that is the Duke. Oh yeah. Okay. I see him. And that was where Ewan McGregor was like, you know, I want to be in love and look at this lady. She makes me feel in love. Okay. Wait, I got to talk about something too. So they're in Paris, but everybody's speaking English.
He did not live in Paris.
The entire Moulin Rouge speaks English.
Yeah.
Nobody spoke French.
One guy was Argentinian. But you're right. Yes.
So,
hey, that's the case for Beauty and the Beast. It's the same thing. So it's probably in the same part of town, let's be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, I was trying to understand. Okay, because, okay, so this is supposed to be a burlesque, which to me, I'm like, so people can pay money to like go have sexy time, but then you also go watch people dance? Or is it just dancing?
Well, okay, I bet you if a burlesque dancer was listening, they'd be very offended.
Well, I need the answers. I need to be educated.
Educated. If you're a burlesque dancer, there I think is ranges of it where like some burlesque dancers just like take off their clothes, but like you can't see anything. You can't even see anything. Like it's still PG. Then I think there's some that get like totally naked. And so then you're getting to like stripper territory. But I wouldn't say that any of them actually sleep with people. When I hear burlesque, I truly think of this is a dance show and we don't know the level of nakedness. I think Moulin Rouge is like, they added the prostitute element.
Well, I was going to say, because they talked about them being like courtesans.
Yes.
Which are prostitutes. Yes. But then like the main, I guess the main thing that we saw, it wasn't that.
Yeah.
It was like performance and just people watching and all this stuff. And that's where we hear Gitchy Gitchy Ya Ya Da Da. Or Gaga.
Gitchy Gitchy Ya Ya.
Later, mama la. Except you know who sings the song? It's Harold. And sing is a very generous term because he basically just kind of like speak in tones.
I feel like Harold, okay, he is like a warning sign for anyone that could potentially have a heart attack because he was just like in your face. His face is always like just bloated and sweaty and was just like his makeup was always dripping and he was just always really, really, really intense. And I was like, your blood pressure must be so high. I am constantly overwhelmed by you. Like he was so overwhelming.
Have you ever seen the Harry Potter movies?
I mean, yes, but I don't know details like you do.
Oh, because he was one of the professors in the 6th movie.
Oh.
He was Professor Slughorn, and he wasn't, like, scary or, like, sang weird songs.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, yeah, he was a lot, but I don't know. Sometimes I liked him, because he kind of would, like, keep up the ruse if he needed to, but then other times I was like, ugh, you're, like,
I mean, he
being annoying.
Some ethics. We got some big ethical questions with him, with her diagnosis and him hiding it, and
oh, I know. I didn't remember that part of the movie.
I was like, oh, Harold. I don't know. I don't know.
And so, and she like faints, right?
Yeah, she almost, first of all, and the same dude who is what, not named, saves her life multiple times.
Twice. Oh, I know.
Who is this guy?
I wrote my notes to go, you the real MVP, Mr. Worker Man.
Who is he?
I don't know, but he's great. We love him.
Oh my God. To the worker with no credit.
She literally falls off of a swing.
That was like 30 feet in the air.
Which, number one, reminded me like Max from the Goofy movie. But number two, like, that's scary. And then Harold, instead of being concerned, he's like, yay! he encourages everyone to clap and, like, pretend like life is great. So that was, oy, oy, oy.
Yeah. Mm. So I was trying to, like, I'm like, tuberculosis? I was trying to, like, diagnose her. Well, you think that's what it was?
Yeah, I do. Okay. They called it consumption. It's the same thing.
Okay. Woof.
I know.
What? Did you remember the scene where they, like, pan to the jello boobs?
Oh, my God. Wait. I have notes about that because that was my Bob scene, but that's, like, later. So
that's, I must have, like, literally passed out from shock from this movie because my notes jumped from tuberculosis to jello boobs.
What?
So I guess I missed something.
Oh my God, there's like a lot that happens before the jello boob.
Okay, then help me because I clearly am overwhelmed.
So Satine basically almost dies. And then next time we see her, she's getting like sewn into a dress with some lady who's like, you gotta be sexy for the Duke. You know, you want to be an actress, which I'm like, Satine, seems like you got a lot of fans. I feel like if you went to the local playhouse, people would show up. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just trying to give you perspective. But then she goes and meets with Ewan McGregor, who it was around this time in the movie. I finally found out his name is Christian. So I'll probably try to refer to him as Christian as best I can. But she thinks he's the Duke. So she's like, oh yeah, let's have sex.
Oh my God.
He's like, I'm going to read poetry. And she's like, woo, poetry. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, poetry. She cops a feel. So that was cool.
She also like rolls when he's speaking poetry. She's trying to like hype him up and she rolls on the ground.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is like every woman ever that's like, yeah, honey, you're great. I'm like,
oh, it was so funny. It was funny, but he was just like, ah. And then he's like, the only way to, you know, snap her out of this is to sing with my beautiful angel voice. And he does.
Sprinkles
and he sings
dust.
How wonderful life is now you're in the world.
Was he singing directly to you, Katie?
I hope so, because I was like, ah! is so beautiful. And oh, I love it. And I also just, you said this before, but it's like the movie, as silly as a lot of it is, like it does know when to take itself seriously. Yeah. And this was one of those parts where like she was being so absurd, cuckoo bananas. And then right when he starts singing like this little love song that I guess in the story was supposed to be him like making up poetry, whatever, then she like totally changes and she gets like really smitten. I love it. And then she was like, wow, I love you now. And I was like, same.
Wow, I don't have the Ewan McGregor effect.
Jesus.
This is,
come on,
the Christian effect.
How could you not love that mole?
But the story is so, so, so good that when the scary Duke comes in, that he, like, they create this whole made up, like, he incorporates the people that fell through his ceiling and he basically kicked out their boss, spectacular, with falling in love with Nicole Kidman, with creating an entire play in the same moment. And that, I thought that was so awesome.
Yeah. And they also, there's a lot of like Peeping Tom moments. Ugh. Is weird. And it happens like here. So all the guys are like trying to peep on Christian. And then the Duke comes in. So Christian's like hiding. The Duke, I guess she like gets him to leave or something. And then she passes out again. She just passes out. And then Harold from like another building is like, oh, let me check in. And then he starts peeping. So now we have multiple peepers and he sees her passed out. And Christian's like trying to get her in the bed, but it looks like inappropriate. And he's like, wow, wow, crazy. And then I don't even know. But that's how they all kind of get together in the room, because all the peepers basically show up to the room. And again, that was a part where Harold was pretty cool, because he didn't know what the heck was going on, but he just kind of jumped into the lie with all of them, where she was like, yeah, we're rehearsing the play, right, Harold? He was like, oh, yeah, totally. Yes. What the? Yeah. And then they sang So Exciting. The audience will stop and cheer. So delighting. It will run for 50 years. And I was like, yes, just like Cats.
If Ewan McGregor wasn't Cats, he would have saved it in Katie's mind.
Oh, God. Oh, that would have been too much.
He does have this beautiful angel voice. You're right. Like, he just comes out and you're just like, oh, wow.
He's got beautiful voice. He's got beautiful eyes.
I mean, I think he's hot, but he doesn't, like, do it for me, like, for you. But I think it's his eyes. He's got that deep blue.
Mm.
So, the Duke.
Oh.
Well, yeah. That man.
Wow. Richard Roxburgh, I want to say?
That sounds like something.
I think that's who that actor is.
But, okay, when we first meet him, I actually was like, I am you. I don't know what's happening either. I am equally confused.
Bridget, don't be the Duke. He's a wet blanket.
I was kind of like feeling what he felt. He was like looking left and right and he was like, uh-huh. And he was so confused. And I was like, you're like the audience. Like, no one knows what's happening. And the Duke is trying to like keep track. And then eventually he was like, this sounds great. Yeah.
He had like a very weird, because he kind of came off like he wasn't super intimidating. He was like this weird little like nerdy rich dude. And you're like, oh, like, we don't have to worry about you. Then he has, like, a scary hitman that he's like, actually, I can murder all of you. And I was like, ah!
Well, and his whole thing of, like, you need to put up the Moulin Rouge deed.
Right.
And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh. He's like, I'm not a total idiot. I was like, I guess you're not. We thought you were with that mustache.
But,
I mean, that's an idiot choice, but who are we?
I don't know. It was, you laughed at him a lot, but then there were other times where I was like, oh, I hate you. You're scary.
He was scary. And then by the end, like, he was very possessive and it was like, ugh, yes. Creepy, oh, creepy.
I hate it.
So then they sell it. And then that kicks off the, this is amazing because now we just rehearsed together. And he, Ewan McGregor's like, hey. Nicole Kidman, hey, we're in love and we get to rehearse all together. And so we have this like secret hot sexy love affair that just blossoms.
Well, and at first, after they sell it to the Duke, then it's like, probably, I don't even know, it must have been the same night or something. She like, what, lives in the elephant something something room, and he magically lives like 10 feet away and where it's all magical. So he sneaks up to the room.
Yeah, it was a little creeper.
It was a little too much, but again, I thought of Romeo and Juliet, so now
yeah,
that makes sense.
There we
go. That makes more sense. I'm making the connections. But that's when they sing one of the best songs. Might be the best song. It's called The Elephant Love Medley. Because it's all love songs.
Kate, we're waiting for you to sing. What are you doing?
I can't sing the whole thing.
Okay, give us a little teaser. Give us a little TikTok teaser.
Love is a many splendid thing. Love lifts us up where we belong. All you need is love. That's like 8 songs in one right there in that one line.
Wow.
And then he is so beautiful and he sings this beautiful song and it's like a little duet. And she's like, at first, like, no, I don't love you. I was just like, thought you were rich.
I was acting. I want to be an actress. Yes.
I thought you were this, but you're just a writer. And he's like, you love me. And then she's like, maybe. And then at the end of the song, they sing, I Will Always Love You. It's like that part of the song. And there's like fireworks and the camera's spinning. And oh my God, it's so good. And then John Leguizamo's still peeping. So okay. Don't worry.
What?
I don't know.
Why was he the way he was?
Well, so his story was he was a drunk. He called himself a dwarf, but like...
So... The only fun fact I have about that, because I was like, this feels inappropriate, but
yeah,
he had like really bad medical issues after this movie because he was like wearing prosthetics and on his knees the whole time. And like,
Jesus,
I don't even know. I think he like said that they got him these like really amazing doctors that helped him. But I don't think his character makes sense in 2021. I think he can just be drunk. I don't think he needs to like add all the rest of whatever the hell was happening.
I think they just added the dwarf part because it was like, oh, see, it's like bohemian, it's like different, but, and like, you know,
but he had a lisp, or he had like a weird, it wasn't a drunk beach. Yeah, it was weird.
No, he did.
I don't know what was happening.
I don't know.
He's a great actor too.
Yes, very different performance compared to his Mercutio role from Romeo and Juliet. He volunteered to be talking sitar in the play. He volunteered to be an inanimate object, and then he wore like balloon pants the whole rest of the movie, and I was so confused why that needed to be a person. I don't understand.
I don't know why, but I thought of Mom.
And oh, I thought, no.
What if Mom was like in a guitar costume? Do you know how on brand that would be for her?
She just needs balloon pants and then she could do it. Oh God, oh God, oh God.
I thought that he liked being the truth guitar, and the truth was what he was like, I could have all these things wrong with me, but I always speak the truth. And I thought that's what he like held on to.
Sure.
But I was just like, yeah, you got a lot going on there, sir.
Yeah, because again, that song, that like love medley, I love. I have that on Spotify. I just think they do it really well to kind of show like, okay, we really are in love. And then it ends with like John Leguizamo drunk sitting in the window being like, yeah, good for you guys. Like, get out of here. What are you doing? Kate, ruining the moment.
This reminds me to our earlier conversation that was not recorded where you really do need to get blinds for your home.
Yes.
Because peeping Toms left and right. What if John Leguizamo's outside your window?
You don't want any drunk John Leguizamo
peeking
in.
No, you don't. Telling you he's a truth guitar. You just close the blinds.
Especially if I'm singing a duet with you, McGregor. You don't want to look, honey. No, I'll just say that.
No, you don't. Mm-mm,
that's private.
But I will tell you, like, the music's incredible. And then, like, once you got into the, this is really cute. They have this, like, secret love affair that they're, like, hiding and they're always rehearsing. That was a fun part of the movie. Because everybody's, like, on the up and up and they're very creative. And, like, he was, like, it was almost easy lying to the Duke because she like always got to like skip out on when she'd have dinners with him or have sex with him or whatever.
Right.
I thought that was really fun.
Yep. There's a part, I'm trying to find it, because they would basically just keep coming up with excuses to, like you said, spend time together, where they'd be like, oh, we have to talk about the scene and like blah, blah, blah. And then the Duke kept being like, I want to have a meal with you.
That was
literally his motivation. He was like, let's have dinner. And I'm like, oh, you're so annoying. Stop it. And then he invited Christian to like have a picnic with them. Do you remember this scene?
No, I do not.
Oh my God. Okay, hold on, because I need to find it. Oh, it's later. I see what it did. Okay, I'm just going to talk about it now, because this kind of just continues for a lot of the movie. But there is a part where he's like, let's go have a picnic. And then, you know, they're like, okay, so it's the two of them. They're singing like a love song. This is where they start singing Come What May, which I believe is the only original song.
Yes, it is.
Yes. So they're like singing that because they just talked about how, oh, that's going to be like a song. And it's like shows how he like loves her no matter what the situation is, you know. And so they're singing this and they're in like some random park and the Duke is there and he goes, my dear, a frog! Just like a little frog.
I know what you're talking about.
And they both just like ignore him and keep singing and he like doesn't notice. And it was so ridiculous.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh my God.
That was what was so funny about the Duke, is it was like, first he's very aloof and kind of stupid. Then he's really smart, like with the contracting and like, you know, then he's stupid again that he doesn't know what's happening. And then he becomes smart again, like, I know what's happening. And so I just feel like I didn't know what to do with the Duke. I was like, by the end, I just didn't like him because I thought he was nuts. But then he even tries to murder them at the end. And somehow he just John Wilkes Booth style walks out and is fine. And you're like, what? Is no one going to arrest him?
No security? None of them?
He was all over the place. But oh my God, I know exactly what you're talking about. And they were just like, this guy is so creepy. And I kind of like was like, Nicole Kidman, like, nice job always like kind of dodging him. Like, nice work.
Yeah, her character was so good at like defusing those situations, because there was a lot of times that needed to happen. But that part actually comes after when, okay, so the Duke invites her to dinner again. Ugh. And this time it's like, no, like, seriously, like, you gotta come to dinner. But then she also before that said to Christian, like, oh, I'll come see you at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So she says that to Christian, then there's the Duke thing, and then Harold's like, you gotta go have dinner with the Duke. And she's like, oh my God. But then she gets sick again. Yeah. And she coughs up blood, and then she's like actually sick, so she didn't see anybody. So this is when Harold, okay, this was my Bob song.
The Virgin.
We have Bob scenes, musical march, we have a Bob song. This is my Bob song. They sing, and by they I mean basically just Harold, which again, let's refresh our brains. It's not singing, it's speaking in tones. Like a virgin.
With a napkin on his head.
With a napkin on his head, and this is where we have Jell-O boobs. So now we're back to the Jell-O boobs. Yep, it was so absurd.
And then didn't like all of a sudden the Duke got into it and he was like, now you're mine. And oh, you're so creepy. Blue, how you made me feel. I was like, I hate this. Madonna must have been like, this is what you did with my song. Like, this is what you did.
She's like, you guys owe me more money. I just decided.
She's like, there's hot people in this whole movie and you took the two ugliest people to my song and Jell-O boobs. Someone didn't like Madonna.
So unnecessary. Like, this song had no purpose to the plot. No purpose. It was literally just filler. Because Harold basically is like, oh, she's a church.
She's at confession. So she's pure, like, so a virgin pure. For you. And you're
so
like,
stupid.
Okay. Stretch much?
Also, all the workers, or like, I don't know what the heck you'd call them, like the servers, the waiters, all the men, they like got really into it. They were dancing like, oh my God, the guy from Barb and Star, like when he does his dance scene, that was like these guys. They were like,
they're doing
really
toe pointing, spinning,
really animated. Yeah. Yeah, they were not on a beach, but like, you know, you can imagine.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is 100% Bob scene and Bob song.
Yeah, and like Jell-O boobs.
And you know, like watching it back, someone in the editing room was like, should we keep this in?
It was me.
Should we?
I was like, hello. And Bob was like, no, it's really important. Like, don't you remember all the time we spent making those Jell-O boobs? And I'm like, I don't care.
He's got like 10 Jell-O boobs out. He's like, I finally got the nipples right. You're like, Bob.
There's literally a part where the Duke, when he starts singing, like you said, he starts chasing Harold around and he has little raptor claws. And I hate it. And
I hated it.
This is my note. I go, it's anyone enjoying themselves here? Because I'm not. That was my note. Just, oh my god. It just went on really long and I hated everything about
but,
it.
But that was also the big moral dilemma, because Harold then learns she's dying. And he's like, we're not gonna tell her?
I don't know why.
Come on, why can't she know?
I know. I didn't really understand the reasoning, because like, she's an adult.
Selfish. I feel like that was for his gain, and I was like, you're kind of an asshole.
Well, that's true. It probably was, because he probably thought if she knew, she might like, I don't know, try to leave the play or like do something, who knows?
I don't know. So, okay. So then she doesn't know. He makes up the lie, and then she really, really, really then has to go to dinner with him. And that's when he gives her that, like, I looked this up, that necklace, that diamond necklace.
So beautiful.
It was all real. It had 1,600 diamonds on it, and it was the most expensive jewelry ever in any movie.
Take that, Titanic!
I was like, Moulin Rouge, what?
Why? Dang!
So, wowzers.
Wowzers, indeed.
But I feel like she kept doing her, like, acting thing, and then it started to get, like, dark, because then she had to tell Ewan McGregor, like, I don't know. Then the sequence of events is she basically says, like, I'm really in love with him, and Harold's like, you can't be, and by the way, you're dying, so you should let him off easy. I was like, Harold, again, you're rude.
Well, and at that point too, there was like a lot of beans were being spilled, if you will, because as they're doing all these play rehearsals, this is even like before the dinner, some lady
she's the Chacha Jizuguru.
She's the Chacha Jizuguru, let me tell you. Because she, for whatever reason, decides to go over to the Duke and point out the thing about the ending. And she's like, why would, you know, the lady go with the sitar player? Or the and then she, like, says writer. And she's like, oops, I mean sitar player. And then the Duke, like, brings it up. So that lady, one, spills
the beans. She ruins it.
The Duke then points out the ending. He's like, I don't like the ending. Why would she end up with him? And then Christian spills his own beans, because he's like, because she doesn't love you.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I mean, she doesn't love this thing. And I'm like, you all are so stupid. And then Satine has to be, you know,
the hero again.
Women have to fix everything, right?
With tuberculosis.
Exactly. That's when she's like, all right, let's have dinner, because clearly I have to like pick up all these stupid beans because you all dropped them and you're so stupid. Oh my God. And then it's just all downhill from there.
It gets bad.
Yeah, because there is a lot of like, oh, I have to like have dinner with the Duke or sleep with him. And Christian's like, wah, I'm sad. And she's like, yeah, but like, you know, like, have to like, do
have
this.
To do
we have
this.
To keep this up. And then he's like, I'm cool with it. And she's like, great. And then he's like, other times he's like, never mind, I'm sad about it. And she's like, okay, but like, we talked about this.
But so I believed it, because his whole thing was, all you need is love. Everything is love. And I've never been in it. So it's like, I mean, he's, you know, they always say like, the first person that you like fall in love with, they get kind of attached, because it's like this big thing for that person to, and she was this, like, not only that, but then she's the star of the Moulin Rouge. It was so hyped up.
Right.
I kind of believed his jealousy and his, why he was so like wild and crazy about it. And then we get to like see him work through a breakup, because she's hit the road, Jack. And Harold's like, you're a good actress and you're dying, so get rid of him. I was like, okay, Harold, you're the worst, but okay.
But then everyone else is like basically encouraging him and her to break up, because they sing the whole Roxanne song where suddenly his friend, the Argentinian, was like, yeah, man, let me tell you how I feel about your relationship. And he's like, I'm going to sing a whole song about how you shouldn't be in love with a prostitute.
But I kind of believed it, because they didn't want the play to go under, and they wanted like perform, which everyone was just selfish, man. Everybody was selfish.
Basically. I do like that song number, though. It's very different, because it is like, the tone is definitely darker. It's not like, love is great and high energy. It's like, we're upset and angry and jealous. Roxanne.
First of all, when you hear them sing that song, because let's face it, Roxanne's like a karaoke song with like frat boys, and I don't think people realize it's about like a red light district prostitute, that guy that's like in love with the, like, I don't think people make that connection. The Moulin Rouge version, you're like, oh.
Yo, I would sing the Moulin Rouge version in karaoke.
Only.
And I would just be like, Roxanne. And everyone's like, oh, Jesus Christ. Christ, get her off.
Everybody
the
like
stage.
Leaves the bar. It's just me clapping there. I'm like, yeah.
That sounds about right. So that's how it happened. So
wait. Okay, I also had, as it got more and more and more intense by the end, basically Nicole Kidman is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And
yeah.
So you got me on to these YouTube videos that you used to send me called Honest Trailers.
Oh,
and
yes.
He's like, Honest Trailers, this movie is about, and then they go in to describe like the silly parts of the movie.
Yes.
So I don't know why this popped up for this movie, and I was like,
oh my God.
Honest Trailer. Half of the movie is amazing Nicole Kidman. The other half is her sweating and crying throughout the entire film. Nicole Kidman. She's
basically
either
true.
Rock star or like just a sweaty crying mess.
Yeah, the whole second half is basically her crying or being really sweaty because she's like dying and sad and everything's wrong.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, but that's where like the emotions got heavy because like Ewan McGregor couldn't believe that she, like they were about to run away together. And I almost was like, that would have been a sweet ending. Like she doesn't know she's dying.
They're in love.
Like, I mean, yeah, I'd be sad eventually when she like dies, but they could just like, they got to have that like happy goodbye ending, and then Harold ruins it, and then he has to like go through a breakup, and then that's, I don't know, so sad, like watching him be so sad.
I know you have not, or maybe you have, but not like committedly watched Twilight, but I wrote a note because this reminded me of Twilight when she basically like lies and is like, I don't love you, and to break up with him to like protect him. I was like, this is some Edward Cullen New Moon right here. Wow. And anyone else who read or watched Twilight, y'all know what I'm talking about. Book two. Okay. It's because he pulls the same crap. All right. And yeah. And then he's like super sad and it's raining and he's sad and he can't even go in the Moulin Rouge anymore because people, like there's like bouncers
that like kick him out and beat him up.
Was that like the Duke's people or who were
no,
they?
No. Like everybody was like, he can't come in because know he was gonna like ruin everything, and that's how
sad.
He like has to sneak in.
Yeah.
Okay, but wait, I want to talk about something kind of random that I questioned a lot.
Yeah.
So spectacular their play. Well, why did we pick Indian culture and Indian dances, and then they all just appropriated Indian attire and there was no Indian people there? Why did we pick that? We're in Paris, by the way. Why can't you do French shit? You're already all speaking English, so we've already not even spoken French. Why do we have what's
happening? Feel like in the context of the movie they pick India because it's, they're making up the lie on the spot, they're in the elephant room, which is all Indian themed. But you can ask the same question you just asked for the writers. Why did we do that? Why did we decide to do the story that way? Because you could have, like you said, gone in the Paris direction or anything else and it would have still been
it could have been the Eiffel Tower room. Mm-hmm. Like
I know, guys, this also
doesn't age well. And then like Nicole Kidman, her headdress, I'm like, you know, this is some Bollywood ripoff.
I did write that. I was like, cultural appropriation.
Well, and think of how many Bollywood films that crush it. They're not getting Golden Globe Awards. They're not, you know, it's like a little much. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't read enough about it, but I didn't like it.
I felt the same way because I was like, listen, it's cool dancing, but like, y'all are white people.
Yeah, all of you.
All of you. Like, none of you are not.
Except for the one black man who saves her life and gets no credit. We don't even know his name.
Well, he was probably staying backstage making sure everything was going okay because, like, he literally was the only one that helped out. So, thank you, sir. We'll never know your name. You probably don't even have a name, so that's great.
And her, like, fictitious, like, mother. Like, who was that mother figure woman that was always, like, all she did was, like, look distraught in the background? And I'm like, are you gonna take any action?
That was the lady who sewed her up into the dress, and she's like, you gotta be sexy for the Duke. I'm like, I think she's good. I think she, all right.
Yeah,
what? I think she was just some lady that worked at the Moulin Rouge. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know.
And then Christian sneaks in and he steals the uniform, or I guess I should say costume, because it's not a uniform of the guy in the play.
Yeah, whatever.
And, oh, it's so sad because he's so mean to her and I hate that he scene where he's money yelling at her. He's like throwing money. Oh my God, I hate it.
But I mean, he was basically like, I lost out because I didn't have money, like the Duke.
But like, don't be a
I know, but I get, like, I really get where he's coming from.
I don't know. I think he should have, because he sold his typewriter. Like, that's dramatic. Why don't you just go write a sad poem about it? Now you don't have a typewriter, so like, you can't go write a sad poem about it because you don't have a typewriter because you sold it for money. So that was stupid. I'm just saying.
So everything gets escalated with the henchman who's going to murder him. And yes. Then they're all on stage. And then this gun is literally like the beginning of this movie. It's just popping around everywhere.
Oh,
and we're all on drugs trying to figure out where the gun is. And I don't know what was happening. Yes.
Yeah, the gun like flies all around. It goes so many places. Well, first the henchman like is ready to shoot Christian. But then he decides not to because like this stage door opens and then he's like on stage, but I'm like, would a henchman really care about that? Because I feel like
agreed.
I feel like
it was weird. The whole thing
just
was weird.
Still done it. Yeah, I hate that. And then John Leguizamo, you know, does kind of help for once. Being a peeping Tom helped because he noticed that, oh, she really loves him, but there's a henchman gonna kill him. So I have to like remind Christian of like his little love quote that gets said throughout the movie 800 times. Which is the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and be loved in return.
Yeah.
That might have been Mel's yearbook quote.
Oh.
Who picked this movie. Because well, that is such a Mel quote. Mel, I love you so much.
Well, I hope Mel did this next action because then we see John Leguizamo, Kevin Bacon style, fly through his rope, like onto the henchman and like, what did he, like kick the gun? And I was like, how did you become that athletic? What happened?
Yeah, I feel like he did something to the henchman, but then somehow the henchman ended up in the music orchestra, and then he was playing the tambourine, and the Duke like looks at him, and the Duke was like, stop it.
But then he was like, that. The henchman was like dancing. Did you see
I
that?
I know. It's just very confusing. No, some random, I don't know who it is, some other random actress like drops a sandbag on the henchman's head, and then that's how the henchman finally loses the gun, and then the Duke gets it. And then he's able to like reach it. And I honestly, I'm trying to like quickly read through my notes and I just don't know the order of events fully, but I do know that somewhere within this, Christian and Satine then start to sing their love duet and they love each other again. And then he walks back on the stage and oh my God, so cutesy. Even though he was like just a big jerk to her, but like.
No, but she knew. She knew she was a jerk to him and like.
Yeah.
She could have told him that she was dying. She could have said,
yes.
Hey, I want to push you away because of X and not like
yes.
manipulate him. Okay, in your fantasy with Ewan McGregor, like in your love fantasy, whatever, elephant room, whatever.
Yeah.
I do think this would be like a really awesome fantasy trait is like the person you're in love with. You know the words to whatever random song that you make up at the same time because that would be like a superhero trait that I would love.
You're just always ready for a duet.
Like you just like you're at the grocery store and you're like, apples, oranges, here's my French bread. Like how fun. They always knew what to sing and I was like, how do you guys know this? You didn't rehearse this.
I know.
It was so cool. So I hope you get that superpower.
Okay. Well, I'll work on that and just I'll start singing in the grocery store and see
Okay. We're I don't know if we've missed a lot, but the ending then of her, from what I understood, she dies and she says, promise me you'll tell a story. You'll tell our story. And then I just started crying like crazy. My God.
Yep. I cried a lot. The Duke also somewhere in there gets punched in the face by Harold because he does his, as Bridget said, Tom Wilkes Booth style assassination. It doesn't work because Harold punches him. Also, then somehow the gun flies out of the Moulin Rouge and it bounces off
the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, that was, you know, all these scenes basically last for, you know, what, 1.5 seconds? So, like, I guess I shouldn't complain, but, like, what?
They had to have a formula where they're like, whoa, 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 this has been serious for 8 minutes. Let's add in a doohickey wing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure the Duke then just, like, leaves. Like, he doesn't die.
Yeah, he just, like, gives up. He's like,
just, like, walks away. He's like, bye, everyone.
But, like, I guess he's like, well, she's dead. And everybody loved the play.
They did.
So then I think the Duke was like, well, I don't know. Everybody loves it. Like, if she's dying and everybody loves it, I guess I still win. I don't know. I was just kind of like, again, a lot of whiplash in this movie.
I wish she had a little bit more of a comeuppance. Me personally, I would have liked if Harold punched him in the face and he was the one that, like, flung in circles and bounced off the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Like Pokemon style with like Team Rocket, how they go blasting off again. I would have loved that.
And then he's on an island with Meow. Meow's making puns and he's like, stop it.
Oh my god, that would be a great end credit scene. Why didn't that happen? Yeah, I don't know. And it's so sad. She dies. Ugh, Christian's so sad. He does a sad cry yell. We're all so sad. And then he grows a sad beard and he writes a sad story on a sad typewriter that I guess he bought back.
He's like COVID. He enters COVID and gets his COVID beard and like, the movie should have just ended. Why are we seeing the rest of this?
And then even the very, you know, hyperactive conductor is, he's also sad at the end. He's pretty chill. And then I think there's more words sung by whoever was singing the beginning song that I didn't really hear correctly. Same. And then it ends.
Boom.
Yeah, it's a very melancholy ending.
Yeah.
Not very uplifting.
I was like, this is not what I expected. And
no.
The whole like, voulez-vous coucher avec moi was 2 seconds in the movie, as you said, by Harold. And I'm like, well, that was misleading to be the number one song, like pop song for this movie.
Yeah,
I was like, why did you pick this one? I don't know. I thought it was weird.
It's definitely like, knowing that this director also did Romeo and Juliet, I feel like the story itself also kind of fits, because it's like a very Romeo and Juliet-esque ending where it's like, you're sad and you're like, wow, that was,
that's that,
wow, okay, that's how it goes.
Better to
I
have
suppose.
Loved and lost than to have never loved at all.
Well, all I can say is, if Christian still has a sad beard and Paris, you know, just take a little plane ride and let's hang out. We can go sing a duet in the grocery store. Oh boy. I mean, I like this movie. I don't watch it often because, you know, it's like, does make me cry, but when I watch it, I do enjoy it.
I would watch it again, and I would unfortunately probably like cut off the last 20 minutes and be like, it's sad, I'm good.
Yeah, just end it when they sing the Come What May song and they're like in love and life is good, and then like literally just stop it before she then, you know, chokes in her blood or whatever the heck happens.
Yeah, you know, just like has horrible. Like a horrific death and everybody's awful. Right. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I'll just ignore that part.
Yep.
So this is probably not something you plan to do, but like, a dad quote is just not, I mean, he has no idea of this movie, right?
No. And like, so he really likes Nicole Kidman.
I mean,
because he thinks she's like hot.
Yeah, I'm sure like every man does.
But like, he does not like this movie, because I kind of did a little probing question. He was like, I don't know.
Okay.
Listen, if you want to really watch this movie, just know you don't gotta remember all the details, people. I mean.
No, and I honestly would enjoy just like listening to the soundtrack, because I don't think I actually appreciated the songs as much, because I was so, am I on drugs? No, I'm not. I didn't take drugs. It's just this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, Roxanne was like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, Roxanne was like, it's like, it reminded me of the lady from the secretary from Monsters, Inc., where she's like,
Roz. Oh my god, Roz would do such a good karaoke rendition of that song. Oh my god, it'd be so good.
All right, oh my Kate, god, I love well, it. You know, in our musical march, there is one more left.
Woo! Last one!
And it is bestowed upon me to pick it, and I have a good one.
Oh my god, I'm excited.
I'm actually really excited. We did a movie with the lead actor.
Okay.
From 2003. This is not actually described as a musical, but I think it is. So you can laugh at me if you don't think this is true.
Okay.
It is actually described as a comedy.
Comedy Okay.
We are going to rock.
Oh, God. Oh, it's
school
it's
rock!
Oh, let's rock, let's rock, let's rock today. Oh, my God.
Musical, it fits, right?
First of all, this is definitely considered a musical because this was turned into a musical on Broadway. Absolutely.
I know, but they didn't start the movie that way, you know?
I don't care. Oh, my God. It's so good. This is Jack Black's magnum opus. Let's just call spade
Tenacious
a spade.
Tenacious D comes to life with kids. I mean,
basically,
what else do you need to know?
Pretty much. I mean, he doesn't act. He just, like, plays himself. This might have just been, like, a documentary for
again,
all we know.
Katie, again, people play themselves.
Yes,
Thank you.
People play themselves, right? Oh, my God. I love it. Is this...
Come on, feel the noise.
Oh.
Girls, get your boys.
I don't think they sing that song in the movie,
what?
But...
It's on a poster.
All right. They sing the Stevie Nicks song. Just like the wild wind blows.
Ooh,
sing the song that Bust is singing.
Ooh.
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 With, was it Joan Allen?
Who?
That's her name? The principal?
Oh, Joan Cusack?
Oh, Joan Cusack. Who the heck is Joan Allen?
I don't know. And Sarah Silverman's in this?
Sarah Silverman
I
has
love her.
Mike White, I think, is the roommate
yes.
that's dating her.
Yes.
And then a young Miranda Cosgrove,
ooh,
who was like
wow.
turned into a Nickelodeon star for many years. And I don't know what the heck she does now, but.
Who the heck knows that?
Yeah. Oh, I love this.
Yeah,
movie.
I knew. This was one I actually have been, like, it's been on my list for a bit. I'm pretty jazzed.
Oh my God, good pick, Bridge. I'm so excited. That's the best way to end Musical March.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, Kate, well, I'll tell you this. If an evil duke and a crazy makeup heart attack commercial man started singing like a version.
Oh, God.
And you had to listen to it in the same room, I would cut that scene. I would cut that scene and then
you
wouldn't
so
have to
much.
Listen to it. That's how much I
well,
love you.
And you know what, Bridge, going off of that, if you know, you were in the same boat, I would take the Jell-O boobs and throw them out the window and bounce them off the Eiffel Tower. Because they don't need to be there, and whoever made them is a sicko.
I would make sure when the boobs hit the Eiffel Tower that they landed on the Duke, who also landed on the Eiffel Tower due to our scene editing.
Yep, those are the changes. Those little changes
that
need to be made.
We nailed it.
Movie.
We nailed it.
Oh,
well,
God.
Well, listeners, we hope you followed this. Is anyone else tired? I am.
Yeah, it's a workout. It's a mental workout for sure. And listeners, if you are anti-Jell-O boobs and if you felt that song was unnecessary, like we did, you should write us a review. We love reviews. We love written reviews. You can review us on Apple Podcasts. That's our big one. You can also visit our website, sistershoseenit.com. This movie was picked by one of my best friends, Miss Mel.
Oh, love
We've
you, Mel.
We've talked about her before in the podcast. She gave us a quote for Scream, actually. But this was a fan pick by Mel, and Mel went on our website. If you scroll down on the front page, you can request a movie. So this could be you, listeners. If you have a movie you really want us to talk about, get on there and you could be our next fan pick. So check that out, listeners. You can also email us sistershoseenit@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. So next week is our last Musical March episode. Very exciting. And then we're going to be moving on.
La la la.
You're not hardcore unless you live
hardcore.
But the legend of the Rent was way hardcore. Oh, it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be bad next week. It's gonna be a lot of singing.
Well, love you guys. I definitely say check out Moulin Rouge. I was pleasantly surprised, but turn off the last 30 minutes. Okay, love you.
Right. Love you. See y'all next week.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Sisters Who Seen It. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check out our website at sistershoseenit.com. where you can email us, request movies to be reviewed, and keep up to date with all things Sisters. Also, make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. See you next week!